U.S. government is now charging lenders when it borrows money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The U.S. Treasury Department is getting a great deal from investors. Yesterday, for the first time, it sold bonds that effectively have a negative rate of return. That is, investors paid the government for the opportunity to lend it money. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now live from Washington with more. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Jeremy. Now, Jeremy, I am going to turn the tables and ask you a question this morning. Will you lend me $100?
For you, Nancy, anything.
Why, thank you, Jeremy. Now, Jeremy, will you also pay me $5.50 for the privilege of lending to me?
No, I will not do that.
Darn. It does sound like a rotten deal, Jeremy, but that is exactly what investors are doing. Yesterday, they bought a certain type of treasury bond that isn't paying anything. Huh. In fact, right now, it has a negative return, as you just mentioned. That means investors bought investors paid $105.50 for every $100 of these bonds the government sold.
And Nancy, why would an investor want to do something like that?
It does sound crazy, but if inflation goes up, this could be a pretty good deal. And that is because the value of these inflation-protected bonds goes up with inflation. Now, some economists have actually been worrying about something called deflation,
right.
And that is where the economy is actually stagnant and no one will buy anything because they think prices will just keep falling.
And quickly, Nancy, does this mean that deflation is now no longer a concern?
Well, we're not sure about that yet, but these investors think inflation is a really safe bet. And for one thing, the Federal Reserve has hinted it's going to pump even more money into the financial system. That would probably increase the inflation rate, which is really low right now. And Jeremy, you can just wire that $100 to my account.
Do people still wire? All right. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. And let's check global markets. European markets are lower. Stocks in London and Paris are down almost a full percent. Asian markets also down. And on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 31 points to close at 11,164. 6 months ago, the Environmental Protection Agency launched its biggest loser competition. It's a contest to see which commercial building can lose the most kilowatts and become the most energy efficient. Here's Marketplace's Eve Troe with the results.
First place in the EPA's National Building Competition goes to the University of North Carolina. Okay, that's actually from the Tar Heels basketball championship last year. Today's reaction over Morrison Residence Hall, cutting its energy use by 36%, not so big. But,
you know, we did bring one more national championship to the university.
That's UNC energy manager Chris Martin. He says the chance to beat fellow contestant North Carolina State did get students to turn off the lights. And he says the contest gave his staff a reason to replace old light bulbs and fine-tune the dorm's heating and cooling.
There was very little money spent on this competition. Most of the results were from focusing our own efforts at reducing the energy.
And that's the big lesson, says Gina McCarthy at the EPA. None of the biggest energy losers bought expensive equipment to cut down their use.
What they did was use common sense approaches and make incremental improvements that paid off.
Paid off in real money. The EPA contestants saved almost $1 million on their energy bills. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. By Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
This week, we're looking at jobs. Some categories are growing and some are dwindling. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Adrian Hill reports now on one industry that's drying up.
On the loading dock of the San Pedro Fish Market in Southern California, commercial fisherman Pete Ansich and sports fisherman Greg Watson talk about the lack of a future for their industry.
can't get any apprentice anymore. Nobody wants to do it.
We're a dying breed.
Tony Vidovich is an old-timer. The retired fisherman sits out on the dock watching the few boats that come in. I ask him how today's fishing compares.
It's garbage. It's nothing, really, nothing.
They all tell me there used to be tons of fish out here. A hard-working fisherman could make a good living. Now they say fuel costs are up and the catch is down. These days, the government says fishermen make about $28,000 a year. Some make a lot less. Greg Watson is converting his 1933 fishing boat into a reggae boat for tourists.
I enjoy fishing. It's what I've done all my life. But you got to be practical. It's time for changes, you know.
He let his own son go, telling him it was time to find other work. The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates the fishing industry will shrink 8% in the next 8 years. As fish stocks fall, quotas kick in, and pesticides and fertilizers build up in the oceans. Paul Greenberg is the author of For Fish, The Future of the Last Wild Food. I ask him if fishing is sustainable.
Well, it is, and it has been, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's really the ramp-up of industrial fishing that happened after the Second World War that has turned it into an unsustainable career.
He imagines a whole different world of fishing, where fishermen catch wild fish using hooks and lines and cut out wholesalers by selling directly to customers, the way small-scale farmers do in farmers' markets. That could help solve overfishing, but, says Greenberg, there's still the pollution problem.
The pollution issues are much more systemic, much more deeply woven into the complicated economic fabric of the country.
He says it's easier to regulate fishermen than it is to go after the pesticide and fertilizer industries. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, in Delray Beach, Florida, a company says it has figured out how to Brooklynize water, meaning to soften it to make the best New York bagels. Well, now the company is suing a South Florida pizzeria that it claims stole the technology, and the pizzeria has countersued. I'm pretty sure this dispute would have been settled a different way if it were actually happening in Brooklyn. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The future of the job market can be tough to predict, but the experts do agree on one thing: the skills the next generation is going to need to be successful.
This is becoming a borderless global workplace. Children born today will spend part of their lives abroad if they are successful professionals, in the same way their parents moved to different states.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the job market of tomorrow, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.